This is Femi Kuti, and you are listening to NYC Radio Live.
All right, you're listening to NYC Radio Live. Great to have you. My name is David Ellenbog, and we have a very special show today. And people like it when anything has a story arc. So I think this is it. This is the beginning of a story. I think we're headed to Cuba. I think it has to happen. The groundwork has been laid. The studies with and performances with Roman Diaz and the Raga Cubana project. That's a really cool episode. Low fidelity, but amazing, where Roman Diaz shares the history of the drum. This is continuing in that vein, where we sit down with two real legends of Cuban music, Bobby Carcassés and the very famous Arturo O'Farrell. Bobby Carcassés has been an innovator in this music for over 50 years, well over 50 years. Incredible guy, Renaissance man, incredible artist. It turns out he was an athletic champion, multiple instrumentalist. He has a love of Indian music, and that's what brought him to the United States, part of the Citizen Diplomacy Project, headed up by Stephen Malden, which brought two members of Brooklyn Raga Massive to Havana for the Jazz Fest last year, brought Bobby Carcassés up here, and led to the birth of the Raga Cubana series and the Raga Cubana band. I really hope you check out those episodes with Roman Diaz and Raga Cubana. We learn a lot about this music. And, yeah, what a thrill. And I think people like things with a story arc. I believe the story arc is it's becoming inevitable. We got to go to Cuba. Cuba, we got to go. You coming with me? All you have to do is listen. They really revealed some stuff. You know, everything out of these guys' mouths is worth pondering over. Very deep words from Bobby Carcassés and Arturo O'Farrell. So, enjoy the music, enjoy the words, and vamos a la Cuba. Or vamos a Cuba. I'll have it straight by the time I get it back. Oh, and we have a sponsor today. We're very thankful to the Rubin Museum of Art, whose Wisdom Series is underway. And they bring us this piece of wisdom from Heraclitus, the pre-Socratic philosopher. Now, he didn't know he was a pre-Socratic philosopher. Just the nature of how time works. And all we have from him are fragments. And the fragments, I believe, are things that people said he said. But one such thing is that you can't step in the same river twice. And that's deep, man. The river's changing. and so are you. So, piece of wisdom from Ribbon Museum of Art. Here's Bobby Carcassis.
De pronto desperté, serían las tres, serían las dos. Era que estaba escuchando un blues guaguancó. No hay cosa que más me guste que un bonito guaguancó, pero pero si es con blues es mucho mejor, porque tiene la cadencia que me gusta a mí, la cadencia que me gusta a mí, la cadencia que me gusta a mí. Tu perro perro,
qué bonito es tu compa guapa,
guagua con la rumba buena, rumbero, bailando como yo. No sabe, no te metas, rumbero, baila mi guaguancó.
Qué bonito es tu guaguancó.
Estos son los ratos buenos, rumbero, mi guaguancó.
Qué bonito es tu guaguancó.
Kiriquita, kiriquajo, rumba, papajo.
Qué bonito es tu guaguancó.
Mi mambo te está llamando, el rumbero. Yo, para, para, su papajo.
Listening to a very special edition of NYC Radio Live. This will be broadcast on WKCR.
This is Radio Lab? Just kidding.
Close, close. I wish.
Radio Lab. Wow, I love that show.
From your mouth to God's ears. I love that show, too. This is a much humbler version.
Oh, this is pretty cool, bro.
Yeah.
This is pretty awesome.
No, this is, and it's a special edition. We are in the studio with two legends of Afro-Cuban music, Bobby Carcasses and Arturo O'Farrell. You guys are the guys. These are the guys.
Bobby's the man.
Bobby's the man. Why don't you, Arturo, why don't you give a little bit of background about who Bobby is and his... what role he played in jazz and Cuban music?
Well, he's many things to many people. He's a songwriter. He's a singer. He's a trumpet player, flute horn player. He's a yogi. He's a Zen master. He is many things. Most of all, he's a guiding spirit because of all the things that he does. He's nurtured generations of young Cuban musicians that really owe their understanding of jazz to Bobby. His contributions are huge because he's also fully versed in Afro-folkloric, Yoruban folkloric music, and he also is an incredibly knowledgeable jazz musician, a bebop master, and somehow he's one of the few people in the world who's able to mix these two languages convincingly. He really has command of both languages. I can't really think of anyone who knows how to mix these languages as seamlessly as Bobby Carcasses.
Yeah. And Bobby, actually, when we were in the car before, I thought we kind of touched on something important that we spoke about, that African music has in some ways been better preserved in Cuba than in the motherland itself.
Yes, that's true. We kept something like tambores bata, and the language, African language, we can find in Cuba, and the whole country, in different provinces, you can find the original languages from different parts of Africa. But when we had the visit of the king of Yoruba country in Nigeria, and he was surprised when he found the people playing bata, that, you know, in Africa, that disappear. You cannot find still African tambores like bata, because they are developing with time and playing Western music and modern. But I was in South Africa and I visited the selva. Yes.
Okay. Roots.
And there I met some groups, very primitive. But in Cuba, he was surprised, because when he saw the people playing bata and singing to the orichas, and he felt like he's in Africa. And like that, you know what? The reason is because when the slaves arrived to Cuba, in a big difference with the United States, that the American pushed the African to leave their costumbres,
yeah,
religiones, and all. And in the opposite, the Spanish people, they left the Afro-Cuban, the slaves who came from Africa, to keep their congas and their religion and the Santeria and all the things that they brought from Africa. And it's the reason, because we still have that. And in the United States, what happened? Ragtime and spiritual and many kind of music fusioned with the white ideas and culture, and the result is jazz music. If you search inside in the jazz music, you will not find conga. Just to 1947, when Chano Bosco arrived here, maybe before. I understood that sometime we had in Cuba conga player before Chano Bosco, but this is the difference. And something very spiritual. I believe I practice yoga, and I believe in reincarnation, etc. When Mr. Babalu, Miguelito Valdez, invited Chano Bosco to come to Cuba, to United States, and he introduced to Dizzy Gillespie Chano Bosco, what happened? They re-encounter each other, something that for me is clear. For somebody is not so clear, but for me it's clear, because they start friendship very profound, very deep. And only 2 years and something, because he died a few months or 2 years after, but the Gillespie, he kept all the manners and all the the, you know, Chano Bosco, he didn't speak English, and Dizzy Gillespie, he didn't speak Spanish, but they understood perfect, because they had affinity.
Right.
You understand? This is my idea. Maybe I'm wrong, but I believe in that.
Right. And I believe you first came to New York in 1958. Is that correct?
Yes,
New York. That was a very exciting period of Afro-Cuban music meeting jazz. And Arturo, maybe you could speak about the role your father played at that with the meldings of these music.
Well, my father, Chico Farrell, was a young musician, composer at the age of 26, 24, 25. He moved to the United States and just kind of was there when Dizzy Gillespie and Chano Bosco got to get to know each other, and was there when the Afro-Cubop movement was born, and he was part of the first, really the first line of Ranger composers that dealt with the mambos and the the kind of meeting of mambo and jazz. His contribution was that he was really dyed-in-the-wool jazz musician and a really dyed-in-the-wool classical composer. So he kind of synthesized this larger compositional process into the Latin genre and the Latin jazz genre. So he ended up composing a number of multi-movement suites and extended pieces and complex chordal and construction in the pieces. So he really was a very serious composer. At about the time that Dizzy Gillespie and John Oboso and Charlie Parker and Machito and all these people were creating this Afro-Cuban style.
Right. And Bobby, you were friends with his father as well, Chico O'Farrell?
Yes, I met Chico in Los Angeles in 2001. I was playing with my son and Giovanni Terry and other musicians from Cuba. And I met Chico in the Greek Theater in the Latino Jazz Festival. And I was with him in the resting room talking about cosas.
They were just talking about different things. Mm-hmm. But it was earlier than 2001, Bobby. Huh? It was earlier.
No.
Yeah, because 2001 was when Chico died.
Yes.
Chico died in 2001. Oh. And that concert, I remember that concert at the Greek Theater.
Yes, I don't
and
remember.
And that concert at the Greek Theater, I think, was in 1997, 96.
Maybe.
Okay,
I'm not sure. But I was talking to him, and it was very important for me because Chico is in Cuba, a legend, and a man who... Here in New York, there are two people very important for us in that moment, Mario Bauza, mm-hmm. and Chico Farrell, because the result with the Afro-Cuban jazz, both are very important for that. And for me to talk to him, to see him personally, and to take one photo, I have a photo. And for me, it's a treasure. And to play before him was great. But it was a shame because the time, you know, the Greek Theater stopped at 12. And she had prepared a big show with a repertoire, very, very, very profound, very beautiful. And he only could play two tunes. And he was a little disappointed.
Right.
But talking about the 58, when I arrived to New York, I came with the Tropicana show, the big show of Tropicana before Revolution. And I met here Patato, Chombo Silva, and I knew that people like Patato, like Mongo Santa Maria, Candito, and many other Cubans were here. And I visited Berlin, not the Berlin now, the first Berlin. And I saw that Machito was his big band, and Buddy Rich was the sextet. And for me, it was something I was impacted. And to visit New York when I was 20, it was something magic.
Right. So you got impacted by jazz music in a big way, and then you know it seems like there are certain innovations that you brought back to Cuba, like for example your own style of scat.
The possibility of scat vocal, and I start to add instruments like percussion, bass, flugel, piano, and all the possibility that I had, and special to develop more speed. And it's one of the things that I do best in my work.
Right. One thing I think I just want to take advantage of the fact that you guys have such a firm grip of the tradition. The tradition, and you know, Charlie Parker, he said, if we lose the blues, we lose everything. Yes. But with Cuban music, if you lose the clave, tengo nada.
It's true.
And another thing you were explaining is different ways the clave could work in music. Like, for example, you were showing me in Caravan.
Yes.
The clave on the two is right.
You start.
Yeah.
Can you give example? Start with the clave. But if you do a night in Tunisia, for example, you start in the middle of the clave. And like that, when you listen to every music, you must search what is the clave, because it's not the same in the same place all the time. But blues, you know what is, for me, blues is the more important thing, is the school. It's you have to master the blues, and always when I teach my students in Cuba, I ask, you know blues? Yes. Like Jacek Manzano, for example, when I met him, he was 11 or 12. He came to my house, me to teach him, to help him. And I ask him, you know blues? And he say, yes, I know, now is the time. I said, okay, let's play. I took the piano and he played very well. And I always ask that, if you don't know blues, you must know, you must study and learn. What is blues? 12 bar blues, for example. That is for me the best, the wonderful, the perfect form to improvise and to prepare yourself to como se dice, para enfrentar ya después
otras cosas más complicadas. To go forward in jazz, you need to learn the blues.
Yeah, it's the roots of it. I'm just curious. I mean, Arturo, you're a huge presence in Afro-Cuban music. You're keeping alive on the education side and on the presentation side. You have a lot of Grammys, right? A lot.
1,700. No, I don't. I don't. I have. No, I have. Like I have four. That's. I have four Grammys.
That's more than.
I don't. You know. I was talking to Bobby today. I was talking about we've been doing the same nonsense for 30 years. The Grammys only came around recently. We're gonna do them for 30 years more if I'm lucky, if Lord wills. But Grammys are important because it's just a credentializer for the music world and for the industry. But you know, we've been doing the same. I've been playing this music for 30 years, and so it's like it's just not going to it's not going to stop or start with Grammys.
Right. So, first, I'd just be curious, since you know Bobby's history and your father's history, if you had any questions that you would think you would ask, that you'd want to know from him and his
history. There's all kinds of information that Bobby has about all kinds of... something that I would say is that a lot of people don't realize that Cuban jazz is, we were talking about our friend Leonardo Acosta today. And people like Leonardo Acosta and Horacio Hernandez and people who were fanatics, Enrique Ofari, well, they were fanatics of jazz. They didn't mix the Cuba with the jazz. That's a very special and recent thing. Cuban people have loved jazz for a long time. Mm-hmm. Especially American jazz. And so the thing that I think is exciting is when people find the connection between the two, when they don't see jazz and Cuban music as separate but as part of each other. And so I think I could sit and talk with Bobby for hours probably about the reality that jazz musicians should no more be venerated by Cuban musicians then Cuban musicians should be seen as exotic by jazz musicians. We do that a lot. You know, Cuban music and a lot of jazz musicians look at Cuban music as some sort of exotic subset, some sort of weird, crazy, strange thing. And it's not. It's part of the same tradition that we play in. Timba, blues, gospel, guajira. These are things that are inherently a part of one another. They come from the same place. But we've separated them. We look at Cuban music and jazz as two separate streams. And I think that Chango Pozo and Dizzy Gillespie began to recognize that this was a construct, that the musics really came from the same place. The art of improvisation, by the way, I know it's a shock, but Americans didn't invent it. Actually, improvisation is Indian music has been improvised for thousands of years before we were even conscious of ourselves. Music traditions throughout the world have employed a method of pentatonicism, improvisation. Some would even call it blues. We didn't invent the blues. Cubans didn't invent the blues. The blues came around from the first time landlords existed. The truth of the matter is that we've co-opted this word called jazz. We've just decided that the word jazz fits a brand of music that we want to sell and control. But the truth of the matter, in some ways, is that neither Cuban musicians nor jazz musicians really monopolize this field. It's actually something that we need to embrace, that it's a legacy of Africa, and that it's a legacy of European musical practice. And I could probably talk with Bobby for days about where one begins and the other ends, because in truth and point of fact, it doesn't work that way. We're both Bobby and I are blessed to be inheritors of an African legacy that we're very proud of.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, you could take your idea that all these musics are one thing and that we artificially separate them, but even to think of somebody only as a musician is kind of separating oneself, because I know someone like Bobby. Bobby, you're not only music, you're an artist, you paint, he's a writer as well. I wonder if you could talk about what is the thing in common for you between writing, painting, music, your other interests. What's the one, what do they have in common that for you?
I will try to be brief, but yeah. It's complicated. But I was also an athlete. I was champion in Cuba, triple and long jump and high jump. And I was watching the people who practiced decathlon, 10 sports.
Yeah, wow.
And I was looking at people and I asked myself, how they can do 10 sports if I do only jump? And someday I discovered that I am a decathlonist in art, because I was born singing, but I was born drawing. And little by little, I met someday conga. I saw the conga. My uncles started to teach me rumba de cajon when I came from Kingston to Havana. I was 6 years old. And little by little, I was meeting congas. I bought conga very early. After piano, somebody showed me some chords. And when I put the chords, I feel that my chords sound good. And I say, because I know here are people who are self-taught, I can do pianist for me to accompany myself. And someday Armando Sequeira, my friend who was my teacher in drums, swing, he gave me the truth of swing. And he showed me to play drums with brushes, the bass, to have the walking with the bass, and chords, very, very beautiful chords. And little by little, I started to develop many things, just to the moment that I was one of the founders of musical theater, where I was obligated to receive classes, ballet, dance, modern dance, pantomime, act drama, and vocal, and many things. And when I finished in the theater, I understood that I am prepared to go to the scene, to the stage, and to create a big problem for my partners, because my work was a challenge for them. My objective is to leave the stage very hot with fire when I finish, and I had that result.
All right. Well,
I want to add something. Yeah. I am very proud. In the last time, I am receiving many, many beautiful things. The last one was 2 years ago when I was inducted to the Hall of Fame in California. The other thing is that I'm working again with Arturo, because I am continuing my friendship with his father through him. Mm. And for me, every time when I come to New York, I do my best to see him. And the same when he comes to Havana. And this is, I am proud for that.
All right. Well, we'll keep in touch, and we'll find your next collaboration. Make sure to cover it. And
I just want to add one thing, though. I hope you didn't misunderstand. I don't say that all music is one. That's not quite what I meant.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I was. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, because I think it's really important to recognize that in this multiplicity of languages, you find a continuum. But in that finding that continuum is when you discover the uniqueness of each multiplicity. So what makes us really special, I think, is not the idea that we're doing the same thing that Indian musicians have done, but that we're doing it from our perspective. That's the first thing. The second thing, also, too, that I think is really important to mention is that, of course, it's an extension of who you are. Every musician, every good musician, is a philosopher, a scientist, a good cook. Every good musician that I know reads, goes to the cinema, goes to the theater. Every musician I know that has ever influenced me has a much bigger view than just their form of art. So I think that Bobby is in a long line of people who are also yogis and actors and writers and people who define themselves not by what they do, but by who they are.
Well, well put, well said. Indeed. And more to come. Thank you guys for all you do.
Thank you.
Peace.
Thank you.
Como ni a la guana con mamá que en el agua, para su ayo, yo dará. Como ni a la guana con mamá que en el agua, we'll be right back.
Toyota llora. Ay, porque me da a recordar cómo ellos me traje del África. Ay, llama la grande, un casa un grande nada más. Ay, Dios, ay, Dios. Y pega a tocar la tambor. Bueno, no traje mi taraco, cabrito está huele bilongo. Así yo canta, y cuando yo te pone contento, está un samba, mamá, que está baila. Que dice los mundeles, a dormir. Entonces a todo mi garabala va así llorando. ¿A dónde yo va? Y que yo completa a trabajar. Que ya no se puede rumbear en el África. Pero que ya no se puede rumbear en el África. Que los rumberos de ahora siempre están. Parando, poni parado, el rumbero como llaman. Parando, poni parado, papá puro lo tuve. Parando, poni parado, oye mira rumbero. Parando, poni parado, que le dio lodo. Parando, poni parado, pero bailando. Parando, poni parado. Pri, pi, ti, moto, coto, arroco, toco, toca. Pi, oh, pa, pa, con, pa, pi. Roco, ki, ki, bak, beli, utela, bak, beli, utela, bajo. Kila, bakila, 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 paparas, paparas. Rocky Coquito, Rocky Coquito, Coto, Pilip, Bajo, Rocky, Bajo, Arroy, Pra, 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 Pra. Oh.